Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Bible study. It is Thursday, December 28th, and it is our final show for the Bible study. We'll be covering the last two chapters, chapter 21 and 22 today. We're able, by the grace of God, to complete the book of Revelation as we had planned. I'm going to let you guys do most of the reading for the last two chapters. What we have is basically the description of the end time events. But I will be highlighting something for you, and then hopefully, if God permits, do just a little bit of talking. Let me start reading where I want to read. All right, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. We ended up last time, we were talking about that the sky and the earth would depart from the glory of God like a scroll. It is the destruction of the old earth and the old heavens. And listen, how far does this destruction exist? Is it just our physical earth and our sky, or is it all of the planets and the sun and all of that? Was all of that corrupted because of sin, and God is going to give us an entirely new universe? Which is an interesting thing to think about, to speculate, when we talk about being able to, you know, travel to different worlds. In the book of Job, it talks about a council, a meeting of all the sons of God, and Lucifer comes also representing the earth. Well, if he is representing the earth, and that is not disputed by God, then those other sons of God were probably representing other earths or other worlds or other planes of existence, other realms of existence. And we will be allowed to finally be in the state of being without sin and coming into the beloved, that one day will we be able to go and visit those different locations and meet those other beings on those unfallen worlds. And so that's something that we can look forward to. 21 verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from every eye, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, write. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. It is done. The very words that Jesus uttered on the cross. It is done. He said, it is finished. And now God is saying, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely.
Hey, do you have a cousin named
Joey? He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And I'm a put daughter in there, so I don't want to leave anybody out. My son and my daughter. Hallelujah. I'm not putting myself in jeopardy as we read further on. I'm just including everybody. And the Bible goes on and talks about those who will not be in the holy city, will not partake, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And you continue to read and continue to read.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the New Jerusalem. It's a beautiful pageant story of all of the things going on in the various gates of the city. It lists the various precious stones that are comprised in the gate. And also mentions something which might sound a little strange to us. The streets are paved with gold, and the gold is transparent. Picture of gold that we can see through. You know, gold is always representing purity, the ultimate mature, the ultimate pure thing. You know, tried in the fire that you might come forth as pure gold. And we don't know what pure gold is. The best gold that we can find is 24 karat. But what if there's 100 karat gold? And what if that 100 karat gold has no imperfections, no extra psi chemicals or reactions, and it is pure, transparent gold? And it's almost a declaration that we are going to be pure, that we're going to be in a form, a spiritual form that has never been seen before, that we can't even really imagine. That John is painting a picture of things and beauty and opulence that is available in God that we don't have any clear understanding. It talks about that the city has 12 gates, and there are three gates on each side representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's a reconfirming themes of the 12, and there's 12,000 feet walls, and the same is their length and their breadth, their height. And so there's a multiplication of 12 times 12. So there's 144,000 square feet, square meters, square yards, square feet of space in the city. So you have that constant reminder of those numbers, and people going in through the proper gate into the city that is coming down from heaven as a bride to the bridegroom that is Jesus Christ. I want to drop all the way down to verse 22. It says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple of it." It won't be any more needing to have a special place to have worship, because every place will be a place of worship. Verse 23, "And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be no wise entered into anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb book of life." And that concludes chapter 21. Take your time, read it through. It's a beautiful pageant. And let's go on to chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 1. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear and as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." You know, once I was at a worship service at Cottonwood School of Ministry, and we were having an alumni event, and I actually caught a glimpse of the throne room with this river coming out of it in the spirit realm. And it is very beautiful. I've shared this story a few times, but I'll share it with you. There was a part where we were worshiping God, and behind each of us was an angel. And the angel would arc his wings so that he was amplifying our worship toward God. And then as God responded, it would reflect that response off of the angel's wings down upon us. And so there was this communication going back and forth. And on the right of the Father was the Son standing. And you couldn't make out their faces, but you could see their forms, their robes and feet. And on the left side, the Holy Spirit was standing. And then the Holy Spirit jumped off of the platform area and began to move back and forth through us as we worship God, faster and faster back and forth, until the trail, like the train of his movement, was a living river running through back and forth. And as I looked to my right, I saw Jesus standing in the river, and he was baptizing each of us into that train, into the Holy Spirit's train or essence, the deeper level of the Spirit. And I've never forgotten it. It's been several years, but I've never forgotten it, because there's always a deeper place that we can go in God in terms of worship and our devotion. No matter how far we get away, God is always calling us back. Revelation 22, verse 2. "And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And it's such a beautiful pattern. Remember, we're talking about numbers, the number 12. You imagine it bears 12 fruit, and it bears it every month. So there's 12 months in a year. So it bears 12 fruit for 12 months, which is 144. Multiply by the leaves, I would guess that it would end up being 144,000, just a pageant of God reinforcing. Verse 3, "And there came no more curse." All cursing is over. All the curses that are listed in the Bible for various things have come to an end. They have no place anymore. But it says, "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Verse 6, "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, See thou do it not, for I am a thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keepeth the sayings of this book, worship God. Verse 10. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. This is such a good verse. When Daniel finished the book of Daniel, the angel told him, Seal the book, for the time is not yet at hand. And they pointed toward a time when prophecy would be released. When John wrote this account, he wasn't commanded to seal it. It was left open. It was left available. The wisdom was left in plain sight so that everybody could know what would come to pass. In the beginning of the book, in chapter 1, it says, Blessed are those who read and hear the writings of this book. It's a special blessing only for those who will take the time to read and understand this book. Because we've done this study, all of us have re-entered into that blessing. We're going into a brand new year, and that blessing will come with us into 2018, which is scheduled to be a year of favor, a year of abundance, a year of coming into your calling, your purpose, your plan, your whatever it is that you wanted to do for God. 2018 is a launching time. Whether you're doing a business, whether you're doing a ministry, whether you're doing some type of outreach program, whether you're going to be working with children or the elderly or with singles or wherever you feel God wants you to be used, it is coming in to fruition. It is about to show up. I put on my Facebook page a prophecy of a prophet. I don't really know him that well, but the prophecy rang so deeply in me, I wanted to share it with you. Only those who have ears to hear and a heart to believe will be able to receive it. I hope you're one of those people. Verse number 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. And whoever loveth and maketh a lie. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The very words of God says, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things. Listen, that is Jesus that is talking directly to you and to me. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride says, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man should add unto these words, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these sayings, these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that's it. That is the book of Revelation. I've done all I can do. I hope I haven't forgotten to answer any questions that may have come up with you. I've done the best I can to share what I have, what my understanding and whatever spiritual knowledge I have concerning this book with you. But the idea is to continue to study. I encourage you to tear apart the book, to keep on looking and keep on studying. There are source material that you can find through Google to enhance your understanding of some of the different timetables and charts that occur. The important thing is at the end of the book, we win. We win. It's been my honor to be used of God to instruct in this class. I look forward to next year. I believe God is going to give us another opportunity to study together. It's definitely sparked something within me to just make sure that we're passing the knowledge forward, as it were. So again, if you have any questions about anything or any comments, please feel free to leave them. Remember, there are no stupid questions, there are no stupid comments, because we can all learn from each other. We can all be better. We can all know more. We can all flow in wisdom and in knowledge and in understanding. My prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit be with you as you move forward from this point to the rest of your life, to the rest of your callings and your giftings and your purposings of God. Some of you are definitely very high in terms of the prophetic call on your life. But it's up to you to make that calling and election sure. You have to desire to flow into that thing. You have to investigate it. You have to put yourself in a place where God can use you to let your gifts come forth, whether you decide to address yourself as a prophet or prophetess, or whether you decide to just use one of the titles of the fivefold ministry gifts, or whether you decide you just want to be known as a pastor, or I mean as a preacher or a minister or an elder. Those are the decisions that you will make based upon where you feel comfortable and where God is leading you to do. I don't stand where I accuse people of being prophets or false prophets or anything of that nature. My job is to help you realize your gift and to support you as best I can. My job is not to condemn you or to accuse you. We all have to be responsible for our gifting. We all have to be responsible for our calling. And so I leave it in your hands. You know, there is no glass ceiling in God. You can go as high as God is calling you to go. But you have to be willing to put in the work, to put in the study, to put in your time in prayer and in worship. Those of you who are not churched, I encourage you to get yourself into a Bible teaching church where you can be instructed, where you can be mentored, and where you will have the opportunity to share that passion that burns within you. If you don't know what God is calling you to do, the Bible says if any lack wisdom, that you pray to God and He will give it and will not forbear it or will not keep anything hidden from you. So I encourage you to ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to operate? And He'll tell you. He's good at that. Once again, this is Bishop Herbert Clark. Again, I thank you for the opportunity. God bless you all. Enjoy your new year. And I'll talk to you in January. Bye-bye.